In fact, one of the pairs of 10th grade boys whose tapes I had looked at had the most self-revealing, intimate discussion of any that I had looked at in those tapes. One was talking about how he really felt bad that they weren't as close friends anymore as they were. The other was talking about how bad he felt because his girlfriend had told him he had a drinking problem and he was trying to figure out whether he really did or not. And yet, throughout this entire self-disclosing, intimate conversation, they never looked at each other once, and they were sprawled out in the way you see teenage boys seated, as if they were riding in a car, their eyes were fastened ahead or looking about, but never looking at each other. And in fact, I suspect that because the conversation was so personal and self-revealing, they were even less likely to look directly at each other. So when my colleague, who was a family therapist, concluded that men were disengaged because they didn't look at their wives and they didn't look at her, she was applying assumptions about ways of speaking that would have been accurate for her, would probably have been accurate for most of her female patients, but were not accurate for, or may not be accurate for, all the men that were coming to see her in therapy. This is the theme that's going to be running through all the discussions that we're going to be having in this series of lectures. We assume that others mean what we would mean if we said the same thing in the same way. And when we talk to others whose conversational styles are the same as ours, those conclusions are quite likely to be pretty accurate. When we talk to those whose conversational styles differ, then those conclusions may well not be accurate, and we may be drawing unfair or inaccurate conclusions about what the person meant, the effect that they intended to have on us, and what they're feeling and thinking when they talked in that way. The conversational style difference I'm going to be focusing on are those styles that are influenced by gender. Whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, affects how you use language to accomplish the various tasks we try to accomplish through language in our everyday lives. I'm going to be developing this metaphor of conversations between women and men as being like cross-cultural communication by drawing on my own original research, as well as research by others in fields such as psychology, sociology, anthropology, and education. Some of the topics I'll be exploring in these lectures include questions like, who talks more, men or women? Who interrupts more, women or men? What do women and men tend to talk about? Who is more indirect in saying what we mean? Why would anyone be indirect in saying what we mean? Where do these differences come from? How early do they start? In answering all these and many other questions, I will be describing and giving examples of patterns in the way women and men tend to use language in our everyday lives, at work, in personal relationships, and just in conversations that we have throughout the day. I'll be tracing the patterns to the way boys and girls learn to use language growing up, and I'll be exploring in some detail the processes by which humans use language to express meaning, to accomplish tasks, to negotiate relationships. If we think of culture as ways of talking and ways of behaving that we learn as children growing up in a given environment, we can trace these cultural differences back to the way boys and girls learn to use language growing up when they play with their same-sex friends. It was that experience working with the videotapes that Bruce Dorval had made of boys and girls talking to their best friends at different ages that first focused my research on the issue of gender. But my research had been focusing on what I call conversational style for many, many years. Because my training is in the field of linguistics, my own research has always focused on the role of language in social relationships. Sometimes I'm called a sociolinguist for that reason. My research methods have always involved recording conversations, transcribing the conversations that are recorded, and studying the transcript. Some of these are naturally occurring conversations that I happen to be part of, and that's an accepted research method in that field. Sometimes they are conversations recorded by students in my courses or colleagues in their research. Sometimes they're conversations that take place on television. Sometimes the conversations come from reality TV series in which documentary filmmakers recorded people in their casual conversations.